You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Aloha. Hello, everyone. This is Elizabeth Powell. I'm still in Hawaii, but now I'm in Maui. But we have a treat for you today.
A nice treat, too.
And who else is with me?
This is Joseph Grassa, also here. I always forget to introduce myself. It's hard to steal the spotlight from you.
So we're talking from Tech Trend Investments on LA Talk Radio. We're here every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I forget to always do the little intro to tell you who we are and what we're doing. But we talk a lot about different types of investments, travel, real estate, stocks, bonds, finance, futures, options, crypto, how to get in, how to start investing, how to trade the right way, and then a lot of little secrets and hints and things in the industry on what to do.
Little tips and tricks to get you started and also above everybody else. That's always the goal, is to give you guys that edge above the competition.
And how to do it the right way instead of just fumbling along, like learn from other people's mistakes is the goal, right?
Yeah, don't do the same thing that we've done in the past. Learn from what we've done and what we're saying and then do it better.
Right. It's practice, practice, practice. Everything is practice. Whatever you do in life, as long as you do it in repetition over and over again, you'll get really good at it. Nothing happens perfectly on the first day, but after practice, you can say that you're knowledgeable and you're pretty good at it.
Pretty good. It would be an understatement, understatement, understatement. Always try to be the best. That's the life motto. Always try to be the best you possibly can. But speaking of being the best you possibly can, today we're going to be talking about how you guys can get into crypto and make the most and be the best at that is that you possibly can, because crypto is an emerging market. I guarantee a lot of people now have heard more about meme coins popping up on their social media. And we've been preaching it since, I think, our first episode that we got on. We talked about meme coins. And they're becoming ever more apparent. So we're going to try to get you guys even more information, how to actually get involved this time, and really push getting everybody involved in cryptocurrencies and teaching you how to do that the right way, the smart way, and also, the best way, the most efficient way.
Right. So today is a 101 on how to get into crypto. So if you're an expert or you're an advanced trader, sometimes it's even good to listen back to the basics and remember your roots and where you came from. But if you're new and just learning how to do it, this is going to teach you how to get in, like the baby steps, how to get into it, and then just dabble and get more information. But always learn as much as you can. Never risk a lot of money. Just always use your discretionary money, your play money, your money for free, your coffee money. This is not financial advice. Of course, it's for educational purposes only, and we want you to do your own research. No financial advice, but we're going to teach y'all how to get in on baby steps on like how to open a wallet, what a private key is, the different types of wallets there are, how to trade on Uniswap, and all the basics on just starting out. And then you can advance into meme coins or altcoins or ETH or BTC, but these are the beginning steps.
But where to start? I think that's always the question, is where wallet. Do I start? You say wallet?
Yeah, like when I was first into crypto and people were telling me about it, they were telling me about Bitcoin and Ethereum. I'm like, what is that? I don't know what it is. How do I buy it? Like, do I go to Robinhood? Do I go to Charles Schwab? how do you buy crypto? And now some of the other different stocks are offering crypto because of ETF coming over. And so bringing crypto over into the financial markets and bringing it over into mainstream. So you can buy crypto mainstream. You'll probably have heavy commission fees and the spread will be different, but you can still get into it. Like take a little bit, $20 here and there, and just invest in some of the majors like Bitcoin or Ethereum, just to dabble and get started. But we're going to teach you how to open a wallet and then buy on your own.
And that might sound scary, buying on your own and doing stuff on your own. But if you follow along carefully, you will be in the perfect position and you won't have any worries I can promise you that. It may seem scary the first time you do it, but it's definitely becomes more of a habit to just go in and press a few buttons and, oh, my money's magically into Ethereum or Bitcoin or whatever you choose to put it into. So to start off with, I guess we can go over the main ways to buy cryptocurrencies and where you can store it.
Right. So a lot of people want to know what a wallet is too. And a wallet is kind of like a bank account, but it's online in an app virtually, and you have all of your information privately held in there except for your wallet address. So a wallet is similar to, say, you have money in the bank and you go to your bank account and you have $20 in your bank account. Your bank account is the bank routing number and the bank number. Your wallet will have something similar. It'll have a wallet address, it's called. So when you go into Coinbase, you can go into Google Coinbase and then Google MetaMask. And it'll give you some step-by-step instructions on how to open it. Coinbase asks for personal information. So you have to identify yourself with a photo, an ID, a passport, some of the main information, because you will be taxed just like you would on any capital gains or securities or anything else if you're buying and selling through Coinbase. The other type of a wallet is called MetaMask. And MetaMask is a little bit more private. MetaMask, you don't have to provide any personal information. You can buy and sell and send crypto out or receive crypto in, and then use crypto on Uniswap to exchange out. But if you have your main one, you want to have Coinbase as your main wallet, or if you're international like Kraken or some of the other ones, I don't know. What are the ones in Canada?
Endax is the main one. Coinbase is also very popular in Canada. And then I think you can also use MEXC as well.
Okay. So if you're originally starting out, you'll have like your main wallet, which is your source, and you'll have where you can buy and sell your like Ethereum or BTC or all the main stables. And then you'll have a sub wallet where you can transfer in and out money or swap. Or swapping is taking like one coin and changing it over to another coin. So you're taking like Ethereum and swapping it over to a meme coin, or taking Ethereum and switching it over Sol. So you're swapping out. If you're buying, you can buy from Ethereum into a meme coin, or you can buy Ethereum into an altcoin. And you can do that on MetaMask, or you can do it on Coinbase. So what you're going to do is you're first going to go into Coinbase, like Google Coinbase, open it up, and it'll give you instructions.
It's Coinbase.com.
Coinbase.com. Yeah, I didn't know if it was IO, so I didn't want to give the wrong information. Thank you. So Coinbase.com. And then you're going to go through a authorization process where you have to verify your identity and then give the information into them. And then they'll open a wallet up for you. And you can send direct deposits like from an ACH or from your credit card or from a bank directly in as dollars or whatever your currency is into Coinbase, and then it'll hold that money in there for you. So the most important thing to want to describe, when you have a wallet and it's a virtual wallet, it's an app or it's online or it's on your computer, you have complete control of that. Coinbase, MetaMask, all the other sources like don't have access to your wallet. So you only have access to that wallet. So you have to make sure that you hide all of your login information, that nobody else has access to it, because if they do, they can get into your money. Just same thing, like you wouldn't give out your ATM pin or you wouldn't give out your personal information on your bank statement to somebody. The primary address that people can send and receive ETH to is the address that everybody can see. And then you have a private address that only you know about, and then that can open up other wallets for you. You don't give out that information. You don't give out your personal login information. You don't give out your passwords. But if you lose that information, you can lose your wallet. And of course, you've heard that those stories of somebody who had, what did he have, like $60 million worth of Bitcoin on a laptop?
Yeah, it was $60 million.
And said he lost his private keys, he lost his password and his access, and he lost his computer. And so that $60 million is gone forever. So you want to make sure that whenever you're opening up the wallet, start small amounts, like $20, because this is going to be your learning curve. Only use discretionary money, coffee money, money that you're willing to like try and play around with. And then open up a main account through Coinbase or one of the other majors. You provide them all your documentation and your information. You'll be provided a wallet. You'll get your own user ID and password for your login, just like you would a bank or anything else. But you'll also have a thing called private keys. And private keys is a set of, what is it, 10 words? I think 10 or 12 words?
12 words on, I think, MetaMask.
Okay, so 12 words that you need to hide, lock away, not let anybody else access. This is the way that you're going to recover your wallet if your wallet is ever lost, or if your computer crashes or your MetaMask crashes on your phone, or and you need to access that wallet again. Your private keys are the way to get back into your account. So these need to be hidden, written on paper, locked away in a safe. Nobody has access to it. Only you have access to it. Because if anybody else gets that information, they can open up your wallet and take all your money. So you don't want anybody else to have that information, unless it's like family that you are trusting, just in case something happens to you, they have access to it. But lock it up in a safe, lock it up, hide it somewhere. Don't let it go anywhere on your notes or email or anything that people can access it. And this keeps your wallet safe. So now you went into Coinbase or one of the majors, you opened up a wallet, you gave your information, and now you have access. You can send in $20 or whatever your currency is in from a bank's ACH, routing, or even a credit card. It'll give you the authorization on how much you're able to send in. And now you have $20 sitting in. You have USD, it's called, so, or whatever your currency is on swapping it out. So now that's sitting in your Coinbase account. And so now we're going to teach you the next step on MetaMask.
MetaMask, yeah. So MetaMask is, it's fun. Because when you first start on MetaMask, there's no KYC. So putting your personal information, when you get into the space, you'll notice that people don't call it as what it is just putting in your public information so you can pay taxes. They call it a KYC, which is also called Know Your Consumer. So it's just for the tax purposes, as Elizabeth said. You don't have the KYC when you get into MetaMask. When you get into MetaMask, it's going to prompt you to create a wallet. Once again, like Elizabeth said, you're going to get a private key, which will be the 12 characters, the 12 words that you'll have to put in if you forget it. Always keep that written down, never saved on your computer, because if anything were to happen to your computer, we hope nothing happens, then you have a way to recover your wallet and no one's able to steal it. Because there have been cases where people have had malware put on their computers and they have lost their wallets. So do not keep your private keys on your wallet just in case anything were to happen. Odds of that happening is super low, by the way. Next, when you have your wallet, you'll see when you first open it, it'll have a balance and Ethereum, Bitcoin, whatever it is. It'll say buy/sell, which is where you can go to buy and sell your cryptocurrencies. If you want to buy Ethereum, sell Ethereum, that or Bitcoin, or Solana, whatever it is, that's where you would do it from. You have a send button, which you can send your cryptocurrencies to other addresses. When it says other public addresses, that is someone else's MetaMask code or key. And you'll see that under your account number at the top. So for example, under your account one, it'll say like a string of numbers and letters, like 0x4003, for example, with a bunch of other letters and numbers after it. That is where you will be able to send Ethereum between wallets. So if you want more than one wallet, you will have more than one of those keys, more than one of those strings. Wallet addresses is what they're formally known as. And you will be able to send Ethereum back and forth from there for a fee. Then you have your swap function, which is where you can swap your Ethereum, your USDC, USDT, DAI, there's a bunch of other ones, Shiba, Pepe, whatever it is, whatever you have already, whatever you want to buy, you can switch between your Ethereum and that currency. You can also bridge that. There's a button to bridge. where you can bridge your cryptocurrencies to other networks. For example, Base, BNB, Arbitrum, Optimism, Avalanche, Linea, Polygon. You can bridge your cryptocurrencies between there. And then you have your portfolio where you can see how much you've made, how much you've lost, what trades you've made, so on and so forth.
Yeah, so on Coinbase or on MetaMask, you can get into any of the cryptos. Sometimes it's easier to start with Coinbase just to dabble. Coinbase is more user-friendly for people coming into crypto that haven't really experienced it before. It's a lot like a bank statement. So you're looking at it, like we always refer everything back to a bank statement, but your wallet is kind of your bank account where all of your crypto is stored, but you have access to it either online through the web, or you have access to it on your cell phone app. One thing that's really important is you want to make sure that, so like MetaMask, if it crashes, so crashes means it goes offline or you have to update it and you can't access it again, you have your private keys stored somewhere else. So when it says import a wallet, you would just import a wallet and you would put the series of the 12 private keys into that wallet and it would pop back up and you would have access to your wallet again. But if it crashes on your cell phone, say the app, because this has happened to me, it's happened to a lot of people where they got locked out and they couldn't get back into their account.
Me as well.
Yes. So, and at the end you're like, oh, there goes all my ETH. I can never access it again. There goes all my crypto. I can't access
it. It's happened to my Bitcoin wallet, and that's scary.
Yeah. So always make sure that you have them written down somewhere safe, separate, and you have your private keys stored somewhere safe, locked up, that nobody else can access. So say MetaMask goes down, just like, you know, any other app goes down and you have to do an upgrade on your app. All the wallets that were in there, be able to access it again. If you have to reinstall MetaMask, you have to upload all your wallets again, and you do it by putting in your private key. And so this is also an important thing. MetaMask will upload every single wallet. So say you have 100 wallets in there. Some of us have over 100 wallets. And so the first one will pop up as long as there's ETH or some type of currency in it. The second one will pop up automatically as long as there's ETH in it. The third one will pop up, but say the fourth one has a zero balance, it'll stop. All your wallets will stop right at number three. And the only way to get them back is either you have to import all of the keys that were for the existing, the other wallets, which is, so we have private keys, we have our wallet, and then we also have the private wallet. You would have to import that. The other way to save it is if you have MetaMask installed on your computer and there's a recovery way off of, if you have the Chrome or one of the extensions on your computer, there's a way to recover it. So that's why we always say, if you have it on your phone and you have it on a cell phone app, make sure that you also have the wallet on your laptop, but you have to make sure that only you can log in to access it, so nobody else can come into your wallet and get the information. But the biggest thing is you want to make sure that you always have access to everything, because if it crashes, you lose the information, you lose the wallets, you can recover them. MetaMask, Coinbase does not have any of this information. They cannot recover your wallets for you. You have to do it yourself. So you have to have, make sure you have this information with you. That's why hide your private keys, keep your private keys safe. And then so if something crashes and you have to reinstall, you're able to get back into your wallets again.
I think that's the scariest part for most people is, what happens if I lose my money? What happens if I lose my wallet key and everything? And it's definitely a scary time. I'll tell you that. You'll have a few minutes of just panic. And that's never a good feeling. But I promise you, if you write it down, stay calm, and you have it there, it'll be perfect. You'll be completely fine.
It's really easy to access again with the private keys too. All you do is say import wallet, enter private keys. You do the 12 words, you put them in, they populate, and then up comes a wallet. So it's easy, but in the beginning, remember, always just start with something small. Start with $20 and then play around with $20 just so it's your play money, it's your risk money, it's your learning curve, it's your coffee money, just to try it out, because the biggest question everybody always asks me whenever they're trying to get in crypto is like, what is a wallet? How do I get a wallet? How do I access crypto? How do I buy crypto? How do I do that? So we're trying to explain the very basics. So these are like the thing, these are the hurdles of getting into crypto that prevents a lot of people from trying it out, is not knowing how to start. And so these are the ways to start, just to play around, to try it out. I know that in the last couple of sessions that we've talked online and live to you guys, we've been a little bit more advanced. We've talked about how to trade meme coins and majors and alts and how to swap and how to analyze tokens and all the detailed information. But for all of you that have piqued your curiosity and you want to know how to start from like base one, this is starting from base one. And there's a lot of people too that are heavy in crypto. So we may have advanced traders listening to us right now, and they have friends and families and wives and girlfriends and boyfriends that want to get into crypto too, but they don't have the time to explain to them how to do it or the patience. So you can have them listen to this segment, right? So if you have friends and family who are curious on getting into crypto and you're an advanced trader, but you don't have the patience to explain it, let them listen to this segment so we can explain it to them. So now we're going back to Coinbase. And so once you've established your wallets, you've on Coinbase or one of the majors, you've proven your identity, you KYC'd, so that's proving your identity. You now have your access to it. Your bank account is linked so that you send in cash, you send in dollars or whatever your currency is. You have $20 sitting in your account. Now you can go through the list and look at all the fun types of currency and types of crypto that are available to swap out. And I'll read over a few of them. So we have, I think Joseph had said, the different ones that you can go into, and you can dabble. You can like spend $1 on one and $2 on another. Sometimes it's fun in the beginning. Coinbase will give you like a little quiz and ask you to do a little quiz, and they'll give you $2 free of one of the cryptos that are up and coming. And so you can get a whole bunch of little free cryptos. And then the other way to do it is when you're starting out and you're dabbling and you're trying to learn how to do crypto. If you go in and just spend like $1 on each of them and chart it and watch what it does. So one day it's $1.20, the next day it's $1.30, next day it's $2. You're seeing that that one that you invested $1 in is actually doing good. And so you know it's doing good. And then you're watching another one and you put $1 in the other one. And now that one is 80 cents and 70 cents and 60 cents and it's going down. So you know that that one is not having a strong performance. And so you might stay away from that one, but you're able to chart and like watch them daily based on a parameter of just having $1 in. So you can see what kind of movement it is. And if you think about it, most bank statements will, you know, if like you earn 5% annually for the whole entire year, you'd make $1, you would have $1 and you would make $1.05, right? So if you're investing in crypto, crypto tends to move a lot faster. It's, of course, higher risk because it can fluctuate up or it can fluctuate down. But now you stick $1 in one of the currencies and one of the cryptos, and now it's at $1.05. You know that you made 5% in whatever time period that was. But now if it's $2, you know that you've doubled your money. So some of the majors, like we have Bitcoin, we have Shiba, Mana, Solana, Sol, Cardano, ADA, Stellar, XLM, Bounce, Auction, AMP, Gala, Polygon, which is Matic, Fetch AI, so FET, Doge, DOGE, Clover, Jasmine, Graph, PlaidApp, so PLA. And then you can also see the little charts. If you go into Coinbase and you look at all the different ones, I don't know if you've had a trade in them because I pretty much trade all of them before. So
I haven't traded all of them at all.
I dabbled. So like in the beginning, I would take $1 and just watch it. Like I'm explaining it to everybody else how to do. So I would take $1 in each just to, or 10 bucks in each just to see what it did. And then you're able to see. So you're able to gauge if it's going up or down if you have a consistent number. If you have just $1 in and it goes to $1.20, you know you're positive. You have $1 and it goes down to 80 cents, you know that you're negative, right? So you're able to watch what it does. But in Coinbase, they also chart it for you. So they'll show you the little graph in the center Right now we're having a pullback overall in crypto. We had a run up yesterday and ETH had gone up and BTC had gone up too. Bitcoin had gone up. And then today we're having a pullback, which is usually profit taking right before the next run up again. Whenever we have fluctuations, people will profit take and take off the top, and then they'll let it come back down again and buy in and then go back up again, just like range trading on a chart. But if you're in Coinbase and you're playing around with it and you have $20, you can stick a dollar, whatever the cost of gas is going to be on the swap plus that too, but stick a dollar in on each of them and then just watch it for 7 days and see what it does. So you're like, oh yay, my Doge is up 5 cents today or something like that. So you're able to watch it and play around with it. That's just the basic 101. So we taught you how to get into Coinbase, how to get into MetaMask, what private keys are, how to rescue your wallet if it crashes, how to just send $20 in and then play around and watch with the dollar. So you're doing baby steps, beginner steps. Never throw large chunks of money in on anything that you don't know that much about yet. Always practice first and get the feeling for it. Same thing like when you're trading stocks and bonds, you're always going to paper trade first. You're always going to like watch what stocks are doing and say, hypothetically, I'm going to enter into Tesla today. In 7 days, how much did it go up or go down? Same thing when you're trading crypto, you can paper trade on these also. You say, hypothetically, I'm going to enter this amount and then see what it does. But playing around with the dollar kind of gives you that feeling of how much it's going up or going down on the different types of alts that are out there in crypto.
Yeah, 100%. I think I've traded a bunch of different ones than you, but I think you named most of them. I'd say if you want stable, definitely get into Bitcoin or Ethereum. I can say this as well. When you first get in and you see that you own a fraction of a Bitcoin or a fraction of an Ethereum or a fraction of whatever you choose to buy into, that's normal. It's weird to look at. It's weird to say, oh, I own 0.05 of a Bitcoin rather than a Bitcoin. Because most people think when they first get into crypto that when you buy a full one. That's not the case in cryptocurrencies. You can buy portions of the tokens. It's based on a monetary value rather than a token basis. So essentially you're not getting scammed. It's not something to be worried about. That was something that I was initially worried about, was when I first bought into Ethereum, it was 0.97 Ethereum, I think it was. And I was like, oh God, I didn't get the full Ethereum. Where did the other 0.03 go? And through asking around and talking to people, it's normal. Don't worry about it. Everything is dealt with percentages and fractions. You don't need to put in a full Bitcoin or a full Ethereum every time you trade.
Yeah, that's very, very important. I forgot about that. So yeah. And that's like one of the resistance points of why people don't get into cryptocurrency. They're saying, oh, I have to spend $72,000 just to buy a Bitcoin, or $67,000 today when it is what's it at. They don't realize you can stick like 20 cents in if you wanted to. But you have gas and all that too. So we'll explain gas in a second. But so say you're buying Bitcoin, you can buy the USD amount of Bitcoin. So say I want to buy $40 worth of Bitcoin. It will give you $40 worth of Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin's worth $67,000 right now, it'll give you 40 divided by 67,000, which is that fraction. And it gives it to you in decimals versus fractions. So it's easier to read. And then when you're looking at the value of how much has gone up or gone down, it's giving you in the USD value usually, or whatever currency you have it programmed into your wallet. So I'm in California, so I'm going off of USD. And so it's giving me, if my dollar has moved up to $1.20, it'll say I have $1.20 worth of Ethereum, or $1.20 worth of ARB, or I have $1.20 worth of Doge, whatever it says that I bought into. And you can buy it in with that amount. You don't have to spend the whole amount that the cost is. So if like BTC as our Bitcoin is 67,000 and change, I have to go back into my other phone now. Pull it up. And each of the different platforms will have a different price value. So if you ever want to know what your price value is at, you can go into your Coinbase account or your MetaMask account and see what the value is. You can go on to like just Google Ethereum chart or Bitcoin chart, and you'll see what the range trade is. But so Bitcoin is at 68,657 on Coinbase right now. So if you bought $20 worth of it, it would be 20 divided by 68,657, whatever the decimal is of that. Ethereum is saying it's at 34.76. It was at 3,700 yesterday. So if you bought $20 of Ethereum today, you'll get that decimal of whatever that amount is, less the gas fees and the fees. But you have to think of it this way. This also happens with Robinhood. This happens with stocks and bonds. This happens with different things. There's always a spread amount. There's always an arbitrage amount. So on one platform, like on Coinbase, Bitcoin's at 68,657. But if you go to another platform, it may be at 68,900. But when you buy it, you're going to buy it at the higher price, like the highest price. And this is how they make their money. They make their money on gas. They make their money on fees, but they also make money on the spread. So a spread is the difference between the buy and the sell. And so say I went and bought Bitcoin today, and if Coinbase was going to sell it to me, they might sell it to me for $69,000. So I'd have to pay a higher price for it, which means I get less Bitcoin, but they're making money on the spread, which is the difference between the actual buy price and then the sell price. But now say I bought it for $69,000 and I go to sell it, they'll probably sell it to me. They'll let me sell it for like $68,500. So they're making $500 on that spread. And people don't realize that that's how they make their money. That's how Robinhood made their money too, and all the other different stocks, bonds that are free, no commission. They're making money on the spread. So like if you buy from Coinbase, you'll buy it at the top. But if you sell it, you'll sell it with that spread of 68.5. So if you go to a different platform, the different platform might have a different price on the buy, and then it may have a different price on the sell. So the different costs that are associated when you're getting into crypto, just like you do any other type of investment, you're always going to have the cost of the spread. You're going to have the fees of whatever you're using. So if we're using Coinbase, we're going to have the fees from Coinbase. And then you're also going to have the conversion rate. So whatever it converts to, you may lose a little bit on that. And then in crypto, we have a gas fee. And so a gas fee is the calculation. You want to give us a little formal explanation on gas fee?
Of a gas fee? Oh, God. So a gas fee is essentially based on the GUI. The GUI being the network priority, and the network, we'll call it the average transactions per each block on the network. So, for example, on high volume days, you'll see the gas fees, the GUI, go higher. So you're paying more to get your transaction through because there's more people fighting to get their transactions through. So essentially what it is the fee in which it costs you to transfer funds, because Ethereum is based on blocks. You have to get priority to get into that block. And as the gas fees, the GUI goes up and down, you're required to pay more or less, depending on if it goes up. If it goes up, you pay more. If it goes down, you pay less. And if you're on MetaMask, it'll tell you how much you have to pay. So if you were to go and send $100 or $10 right now, you're paying, at this current moment, you're paying 17 GUI on average. So if I were to go and transfer myself a few hundred dollars, it would cost me, what is that? Like 20, like I think that's $20 Canadian. No, it's not. 0.003, whatever that is. That's super. 0.003. Sorry, it's a lot lower. It's like what? $2? Not even.
Yeah, because 17 is really low for gas right now. Gas has been
15. It's super low. Yeah, so the network priority right now is super low because right now we're approaching the tax period, and more people are stopping to trade, taking their profits, or reducing the amount of transactions they're doing because they're more so focused on spending on to reduce their taxes.
Right.
So there's definitely going to be a lack of volume up until the 15th, but after the 15th is when we'll start to see a high GUI start to kick in again, as people will start putting more money back into the market so they can start making their money for the year.
Right. So we have high volume times of the month and high volume times of the day, and then high volume times of the week. Right now we are on the 9th in the US. I always forget that everybody's sometimes in our different time zone. There are some of them are listening or on the 10th already. But so like Australia's on the 10th right now. We're in the 9th in California. So the big volume times of the month is when people are getting paid. So when people are getting paid, like at the 30th or the 1st of the month or on a Friday, they have a lot of money, which comes into circulation into play. And so we're at that lag time period where people got paid on the 30th to the 1st. They had a lot of volume in the market, and then comes around the 5th of the month, they have to actually pay their mortgages, their rent, their high priority bills are usually due near the 1st of the month. And so from like the 5th until about the 15th, we'll slow down a little bit. So in the very beginning of the month, we're going to have high gas, which means it's high transaction fees to swap out currency or to buy and sell meme coins or whatever we're doing that's in currency. But high volume also means that you're making a lot of profit. So when you have high volume, it means there's a lot of people in the market, which are buying and selling, creating a demand, lowering the supply, creating a bigger demand. Gas fees go up, but so do profits go up. We're in our little lag time right now, and we're in off trading hours too, and I'll explain that in a minute. But since gas is only 17, this is a great time to buy currency. So it's a great time to buy crypto because we're having that little lull and that pullback. We're having people who profit took, and so we have like a pull down. And then it's also cheaper to get in. So this, when there's a lower demand, they'll shrink the spread too. So before, if there was a $500 spread from, you know, 70,000 to 69.5, and they were making $500 in the spread, they're going to try and get more people to buy versus to sell. So they'll shrink the spread so that more people will buy, and it'll be more attractive for them to get in. So this is a good time to get in and, you know, spend your $20 and try it out. And then, so we have the time of the month, so the 30th to the 1st, and then it's slowed down after like the 5th when they're making the mortgage payment and the rent. And then we're going to pick back up on the 15th. And yes, most people have taxes due, so they're very aware of that right now. But they can make profits in crypto, right? So the 15th is coming up. And so we're going to get more money, more in fluctuation. Plus people will get tax refunds back. So they're going to have more cash to invest in the market. Last year, around the 15th of April was one of the peak times. That's when Pepe came out too and started this whole meme coin run, this big meme coin run that encompassed a bigger market versus just the people that were trading on small tokens before. It created a bigger market share because of that. And that was April 15th of last year. So we're coming up on April 15th again. So we'll have tax refunds coming in, people get paid on the 15th, it'll be close to a Friday, it's middle of the month, there's no major big bills due, there's going to be high volume in the market, a lot of people will start trading, and that's just in like 6 more days, which is great. So we're going to have a lot of volume in the market, and then that means also gas will go up, of course, but when gas goes up, gas means a lot of volume, which means higher profits. So we have the end of the month to the 1st. We have the 15th of the month, usually lasts to about the 22nd. We'll have a big run. We'll have a lot of volume. We'll have profit going in there, higher gas. And then the days of the week that are popular too are Monday, because it's the start of a business day. So we have Monday, and then we have Tuesday is usually high volume day too. Thursday is a high volume day also. And then some Saturday nights they'll launch because they have lower gas. So if you're thinking about meme coins or something else, Saturday night's a good night because it's lower gas. It's about ready to be into the Sunday. It's coming to the end of the weekend. It's coming into a weekend for international, and gas is lower. And then Sunday night and Sunday afternoon, because it's Monday for a lot of international, but it's the end of a weekend for the US. And so the US will get active and get bored and want to start trading on a Sunday night.
So that always happens. When people get bored, they buy.
Right.
And when people have too much to do, they sell. So it's the opposite of what you'd think, is when people want to have nothing to do, they'll start throwing money at stuff. It's just the natural thing to do. You'll go, oh, I have nothing to do. I wanna risk some money today. And they'll go and they'll just go and buy stuff.
Right.
And especially when the market's low, like nothing's happening and people start to get scared for their bags. And they're like, oh, what's happening? They'll start to throw more money at it. and they'll be like, okay, come on, revive. Let's see if something happens. Maybe something will happen. So it's all of like the subconscious and mental factors that you have to keep in mind as well.
Right. A lot of this is psychological. Any asset is psychological. So if you can train your brain to be more logical and to know the data and to know like the best times to trade, how to de-risk, how to enter into a trade, how to be profitable, paper trade, just throw small amounts until you practice and get really good at it. And practice. Learn as much as you can. Try it out. And then it can be very profitable, but you'd never want to just jump into something that you don't understand yet. If you're going to jump in with risk money, low money, money that you can throw away, that's fun, that's your learning curve money. Count it as like your education money, right? When you're learning something, never throw in big chunks, always like throw in small amounts that you can just watch and dabble with and play around with. So the high times again are the end of the month, the 1st, the 15th of the month, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and then not on a holiday, so don't do a holiday. And then 4 a.m. is like the low time too. That's when everybody sells off, is 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. But we'll have lower gas at night because we don't have a high volume from the normal workday in the morning. Gas is lower at night. And so trading times, we usually trade from 5 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Gas will start to get higher around 6, 7 a.m. because East Coast is up and that's their normal business day. Nice. But on West Coast, it's still early. So gas will be really high. But at night, gas drops down because we don't have as much business open. So people are trading at night with lower gas, but we still have high volume. So from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific Standard Time is our next peak time of the night, what we trade usually. If you're buying ETH and BTC, you can pretty much buy it at any time. You just have to incur the gas. Gas isn't usually as high. But if you're trading meme coins, we have specific times of the day, the month, and then also day or night so that you're incurring lower gas, but you're catching the higher volume. The goal is you always want to catch high volume. So say you go to a concert and a concert starts at 8 p.m. at night and you can show up at the concert. Everyone's going to be there at 8 p.m. at night. There's going to be music. There's going to be thousands of people. You're going to enjoy yourself. You can come to the concert at 10 a.m. Just nobody will be there. There'll be no music. There'll be no people, but you can still go. It's the same thing with trading. You can trade any time of the day 24/7 because crypto is open 24/7. You can buy and sell anytime you want to, but you always want to pick the time of the day that has the most people around, the highest volume, so that whatever you're entering into is going to be the most profitable. So you can show up at 10 a.m. and trade where there's nobody around, there's no music, there's no concert. You can be there, you can trade. But the best time is to go when there's a lot of people there and it's a big concert and there's music and there's people everywhere. That's going to be the highest volume.
Yeah, I can't say it any better. I'm not going to lie. So I think you've nailed that. So what else do we really need to go over? I think we've talked about how to get in, how to buy crypto, where to store your crypto, how to send your crypto, how to buy things, not to be worried about owning fractions of cryptocurrencies.
The time of the month, the day, hours, gas,
everything.
This has been our 101. Oh, so, and then the other thing that's really important is that to go on to AI Signal. it's AISIGNAL. And then we give training videos, how to trade, answer questions, go into Telegram. I know a lot of people aren't very familiar with Telegram. So if you're involved in crypto, Telegram is one of the biggest things to get into, to get instant information, to access bots, to get detailed information, to get analytics, to see what's going on in crypto, to have communities to talk to just join and listen and find out what's going on. And so we have Telegram communities that you can go into and learn. You can also access Telegram bots. But AI Signal, we do a lot of AI training. So we take predictive modeling on meme coins and altcoins and futures and stables, predict when ETH and BTC is going to run, Find out when meme coins are about ready to launch and when they're going to have the highest probability of running revivals on a meme coin, when a meme coin is coming back to life. And so go into AISIGNAL, and then you can access it on Twitter, AI Signal Bot. You can access on the Telegram. The details are on Twitter also. You can go onto the website, AISignalBot.xyz, and then get information and then come in and get more information. But right now we gave you the basic intro on how to get into a wallet and buy ETH and BTC. If you listen to our last couple of episodes, we talked about meme coins, we talked about analytics, how to trade, how to get involved. And so you can go back to each of the series and get more information as you expand and learn more. And if you're an experienced trader and you want to help out your friends, families, significant other, learn how to do crypto, have them listen to this podcast because we gave the basic intros. We'll expand more in detail, but we're coming close to a wrap up too.
Oh, oh my God. You had me tired thinking about all that stuff again. I'm not going to lie. It's a lot to internalize.
Right. But I mean, most people don't know when you're trying to get started. My biggest thing was like, what is a wallet? When I was learning how to do crypto, I'm like, what is a wallet? I'm asking around everybody, like, what's a wallet? Can you give me a wallet? I don't know how to make a wallet. What is a wallet? And then I think I sat on like 6 or 7 wallets with crypto in it forever, not knowing like how to access it after I did it.
Well, yeah, because so, when I first bought, I bought on a centralized platform. So I bought on NDAX, which is a Canadian platform. Uh-huh. And I had a wallet there and I'm like, okay, so I can buy and trade this, like NFTs from here.
Right.
No, you can't. So you have to ask people, and it was a big, big struggle to try to find out. Cause I'm like, I can't do anything. I can't buy, I can't sell it. I can't do anything from here.
You had to connect your wallet, which we didn't even talk about connecting wallets.
Oh God. Yes. You have to connect your wallet to open.
It's actually not that hard. Like once you get to learn how to do all this stuff, it's really, really simple. It just sounds complex in the beginning. So that's why we've been trying to break it down and simplify the instructions and start
it. Smaller little parts, right?
But it's really, once you get going on it, it's like super easy. Like
it becomes really natural.
Yeah. Yeah, like we're on our phones 24/7. We're on our laptops 24/7. You can access a trade within milliseconds now. Like it doesn't even take effort anymore. Like it's really, really simple. Yeah, we like look at a chart, buy or sell, we're in, we're out, the transaction's done. We don't even have to wait. Like you can transfer ETH within milliseconds. Coinbase is a little slower. Coinbase takes a little while to transfer, but if you go into MetaMask, it transfers like within seconds, which is awesome.
If you're transferring from a centralized exchange like Coinbase, NDAX, Kraken, so on and so forth, you're going to have to pay, I guess you pay a flat fee from them, but you also have to wait a bit longer for your transaction to go through. Once it hits your MetaMask, it's a lot quicker. Everything's instant because then you're going from wallet to wallet. As soon as you go from a centralized exchange to a wallet, it takes a bit longer because they actually have to internalize the information a bit more. And obviously they have a lot more transactions pending that's not on the blockchain, that's more through them. So you wait a bit longer for all that stuff and the verification process I want to send my funds to this wallet. Had that message so many times now. But there are different
kind of authorization and go through. But go onto YouTube, go on to Coinbase, go on to MetaMask, and then they give step-by-step instructions. They also give videos. We've broken it down so you can get the intro on how to do it, you know, from person to person versus trying to look on the website. But these are the basic information to get started in crypto. But come in and visit us in A-Signal 2, AI Signal. We have predictive modeling and information on meme coins. And so as you advance, you can get more information. And we'll be talking about it more in the future. We're getting ready to wrap up right now. But hopefully y'all learned a little bit. And if you're an advanced trader and you're listening to it and you want to pass along this information, pass it along so you don't have to describe everything in detail. You can have them listen to this episode. But it's been fun. So
it's been an absolute blast.
Well, I'll see you again next Tuesday, and we'll see what we're going to talk about next week. Not yet sure yet, but it's always full of surprises. Thank you for joining us on Tech Trend Investments.
Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing week.
Have a good one. We'll see you next Tuesday, 6 p.m.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.